Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
While people are joining, I know this is an early live for us. Do us a favor. Hit that heart button so more people get a chance to see it. Tell us where you're watching it from. Leave comments and questions if you have them. I'll try to do my best to work them in as we go. Adam, it's good to see you again, buddy. I love our conversations. And I want to start this one about this school bombing in Iran. And for folks that haven't seen it, there were about 180 people who were killed on the first day of the war in Iran, Trump's illegal war. And it was a girls' school in Iran. I believe 168 kids are among the dead. And it's been an open question with the Trump administration who was responsible for the shooting. It's been pretty obvious, I think, to rational, reasonable people that we are the ones who conducted that shooting. Now, the New York Times reported yesterday that there's preliminary evidence from the Pentagon that we are the ones who are responsible. It was a U.S. Tomahawk missile. They had outdated information about what they were targeting. So they believe they were targeting some sort of training center or military facility. And in reality, it was a school. The United States didn't know that. So, you know, the most charitable interpretation here is that it was an accident. The one thing I'll add here is the Trump administration and Donald Trump himself have been aggressively lying and covering this up. Trump argued almost immediately that Iran blew up the school themselves, even though it was very obvious that it was a Tomahawk missile that did it. And a Tomahawk missile is something that's only owned by four countries: the United States, Britain, Australia, or Japan. The U.S. is the only country engaged in this conflict that has Tomahawk missiles, and you have to fire them from a submarine. So Iran could not possibly have done this. So they continue to lie, and I want to get your reaction to it because it's so horrific, and I want to know how you're feeling about it.
I think it's very emblematic of the lack of transparency coming from this administration across almost every single issue. Even this war in particular, they have contradicted themselves every single day. There's a tweet I saw that kind of perfectly summarizes it. It says, "It's a war. Actually, it's a military operation, but it's also an excursion. Iran started it. Wait, Israel started it. We started it. It's ending now. It's actually just beginning. It's also been going on for 47 years. Remember, it's 47 years they've been. So it's like how all of these things cannot exist at the same time. And to fit that into the framework of the school bombing, you see specifically that Donald Trump lied about it. Donald Trump was contradicting Pete Hegseth, who was saying we're still investigating. And then Trump jumped ahead of the investigation because he was lying about it. He doesn't care. And it makes me think a few things. First of all, it worries me that the American public is desensitized to lying to this degree. I don't know whether it was the Bush administration or Trump part one that desensitized the American public to just lies and lies about war. People should be pissed off that this administration is lying to our faces about who killed who and why we're even at war. But zooming out even further, we've seen this among every single issue. Remember in the days following Renee Nicole Goode's shooting, like every American should remember this. The days following Renee Nicole Goode's shooting, we had mass resignations from the DOJ's Civil Rights Division because the administration was spiking an investigation. They were spiking the coordination between state and federal investigators because they wanted to control the narrative. Same thing with Alex Preti. We saw resignations because they were controlling the narrative. Same thing with the Epstein files. Thomas Massey and Ro Khanna had to pry it out of the DOJ's mouth with like a discharge petition and repeated lobby, like over and over, just getting other people on board. And Trump did not want that to happen. The lack of transparency is insane. And that's only the half of it. We could talk about his health, the cover up with his health. I mean, he has venous insufficiency or whatever. And they covered that up. They covered that up.
The weird thing on his neck that we saw last week.
They covered that up all the time. A lot of people forget this as well. We conducted strikes in the Caribbean Ocean, and there was a video of it. There's a video, and they never released the video, I believe. I believe the video is still being hidden because we double-tapped a boat. So there's lack of transparency across every single issue. And going on to this war, even Fox News host Peter Doocy yesterday was asking Donald Trump, "You said an excursion, but then you said it's a war, so which is it?" And Trump essentially says, "Well, it's a war for them and it's an excursion for us." It's like Schrodinger's war at this point, and that is not good for any American. We have added $8 trillion to our debt just being in the Middle East over the past 20 years. $8 trillion. We now pay $1 trillion per year just on the interest for our debt. And they're deciding to go and spend billions and billions, probably going to be hundreds of billions more dollars on another forever war that they can't even define.
Yeah. I would go even a step further. on that. And I think it's really well said on transparency, but it's also the complete lack of accountability. And like, does anybody believe that on any of the issues that you just described, that we're going to see somebody held responsible for that? And we have this tragic school bombing in Iran. And look, I don't agree with this war. I would not have started this war. I think it's immoral. I think it's illegal. Sometimes those things happen in war. It's our job as the good guys to minimize civilian casualties. This is the worst civilian casualty I think the United States has committed in decades now, is what I read. And there's no acknowledgement that we did it. There's no understanding that, hey, we're going to update our information. We're going to make sure it never happens again. We're going to try to find some way to make it right to the people who are recovering from this or the families that are missing their kids. There's just no general level of accountability within this administration. And then you can go to the Epstein files. And to be clear, guys, when I say we're the good guys, we're supposed to be the good guys. That's, I want to be clear about that. We're supposed to be the good guys. But it on Epstein, where's the accountability on Epstein? We have all this information of people who were trafficking little girls and little boys, who were abusing little girls and little boys. Nobody's gone to prison for that. You can extend that then to the corruption inside the Trump administration. You've got Don Jr. and Eric Trump, who are investing in drone strike companies that have contracts in front of their dad's Pentagon right now, in the middle of a war that their dad started for reasons that the American people, I don't think, understand or support. I mean, 65% of Americans say they don't know what we're doing here and they don't trust that Trump has a plan. So they're going to now profit off of that. Meanwhile, Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff are making land deals all throughout the Middle East. It's just a disaster. And I think a big part of the reason America is so adrift, that so many people are giving up on the American dream, on community, on our government, is there's just no accountability for a certain class of people. And meanwhile, 80% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck, unable to buy a house, unable to retire with dignity. They're frustrated, so they're just giving up and they're becoming cold and insular. And that's how these guys win. Like, Trump wins when you believe that there's nothing you can do to stop him, that the system is just always going to work out for him. And I want to add one more thing to that too, Adam, then I'll hand the mic back to you, because I had the opportunity to do a hit on News Nation this week. And I was in the waiting room while Bill O'Reilly was talking. Bill O'Reilly is a 76-year-old man, and he was shitting on young guys like you. Now, I don't think he was talking about me, but he was talking about, he called you the earbuds generation, right? You've got your earbuds in, you're scrolling on TikTok, you're not interested in helping anybody. And because of that, you're not willing to go sacrifice and lose your life over in Iran or war. And I basically chucked all my talking points of what I was going to say to Leland to just shit all over Bill O'Reilly when it was my turn to go on, because it was so condescending. But if you want people to sacrifice for this country, let's for the sake of the argument, let's assume that the conflict in Iran is just and it's in America's best interest, which it absolutely isn't. But let's say that it is. You want people to go put their bodies on the line for their country? Give them a country worth fighting for. Give them a life worth defending. There was a reason that people in World War I and World War II signed up to go fight. It wasn't just because we were fighting the Nazis and people doing evil things. It was because there was a life worth defending here at home, where people could buy a house and start a family and send their kids to college and live the life of dignity and respect that they wanted. They've stripped us of that. And then they're going to lecture us for not wanting to go defend their wars when they're the only ones who are going to be better off for it. And that is just, it's bullshit.
Yeah, that's crazy. I did not know Bill O'Reilly said that, but I find it ironic because he's been on TV for 50 years or so, like double my lifespan. And look where it's gotten us. He's had a platform to be a pundit for 50 plus years, and it's gotten us $38 trillion in debt. It's gotten us more forever wars. Unemployment is up among my generation. Unemployment is up among Black Americans, among all Americans. It's affecting everybody. And Bill O'Reilly then says, oh, you know, the president I elected started another war. You guys have to go fight in our war. We need accountability, not for Bill O'Reilly, but for the people who are starting these wars and the people who are lying to our faces. When you were talking about accountability 2 or 3 minutes ago, it reminded me of Kash Patel testifying in front of Congress, saying that there's no evidence Jeffrey Epstein trafficked anybody to anybody else. He was essentially lying directly under oath. And then 4 or 5 months later, the discharge petition forces the release of the files. And we know that Kash Patel was lying. There needs to be accountability for that. There needs to be accountability for the Doge staffers who were stealing data under the assumption that they were going to get a pardon from Donald Trump. That's the big story that's been coming out lately, is that a whistleblower said Doge staffers stole this data. And then one of the staffers was like, hey, He allegedly was like, I was hoping that Trump would give me a pardon. So that's the signal that Donald Trump sends when he pardons people on January, or pardons the January Sixers, pardons all these others. He sends a signal that if you do something for him, you can escape that very accountability. And I wouldn't be surprised if he pardons Pete Hegseth or other people at the Pentagon. And I do want to say, there was a clear difference between the way Pete Hegseth and Donald Trump were answering the question about the strikes. There's a video of them on Air Force One, and in multiple scenarios, they would both get asked the same question. Did the U.S. do the strike? Pete Hegseth always said, we're still investigating. It's almost as if some lawyers told him, like, hey, dude, shut the fuck up about it. Do not be talking about this. Like, you cannot be talking. And then Trump would always be like, it wasn't us. It was Iran. Like, Trump doesn't give a shit. He literally will say anything at any time and lie through his teeth. I'm not saying Pete Hegseth is a more moral person, but I think he was given some guidelines to just chill the hell out and not lie. And Trump was lying through his teeth. Now we're getting to a point where Trump is apathetic. He doesn't care. He's doubling down. He's being asked by the press about this. And he's like, yeah, of course it was Iran. He doesn't care about the intelligence. He will directly contradict Pete Hegseth. And then when some reporter asked him, like, everyone else in your administration is saying different than you. You're the only one saying this. His answer was nonsensical. He was like, yeah, I don't know enough about it, so I'm just getting ahead of it. Like, it just completely nonsensical. And it's despicable to see the lying about all of this.
Well, look, nothing in Trump's life has ever taught him that he's going to be held accountable for anything that he says or does.
Yeah.
The truth is, if we had a functioning criminal justice system, he would have been thrown in prison decades ago for any number of crimes that he committed, from refusing to rent his apartments to Black people in New York City in the 70s, to the obvious cases where he was laundering money through his casinos with the mob in the 80s and the 90s. By the way, he's a failed casino owner. I don't know why that's not the end of it. I feel like most people should be able to make money at a casino. Multiple casinos. I mean, the Taj Mahal, man. I mean, I've never been there, but I enjoy gambling and I would have liked to have seen it at some point, but the guy couldn't keep it open. It's unbelievable. And so for him, he's, you know, almost 80, right? He's 79 years old. Like, he doesn't think he's ever going to be held accountable, and he's going to be dead in a couple years anyway. So he feels the need to just leave as much of a legacy as he can here. And it's disturbing. And it's disturbing to me that, like, him, Lindsey Graham, Bibi Netanyahu, the rest of them, they're old men and they're creating problems that you and I are going to have to solve. You're watching is going to have to solve right now. And it's frustrating because they're trying to solve the problems that the old men left them. Like, the situation with Israel and Palestine is a consequence of decisions made about 100 years ago that were frankly fucking stupid in the way that they put that together that created this conflict. And it's annoying. And I want to add something on pardons for a second, because you brought up Kash Patel and you brought up Pete Hegseth, but I don't know if you saw the New York Daily News this week, far from a liberal outlet, reported that Corey Lewandowski, who is the special employee at the Department of Homeland Security, special because he is apparently in the middle of an affair with Kristi Noem, that multiple times over the course of the last year told DHS employees, but also New York Daily Mail reporters, that he could do whatever he wanted in the administration, because he said, I can do whatever, it was, quote, I can do whatever the fuck I want, DJT will pardon me. That was the specific quote. So you've got guys like Lewandowski who are acting with such impunity towards the American people, who are, I mean, DHS spent $220 million on an ad campaign for Kristi Noem to make her look cool. They spent more money than they did on Oppenheimer, which is crazy to me. They built basically a sex plane for the two of them to travel around the country with a queen size bed in the back so they could do whatever the hell they want to do. And these guys know they're going to get a pardon at the end of it. So, of course, Kash Patel and Pam Bondi are going to cover up the Epstein files. They need to protect their boss. Of course, Pete Hegseth is going to do whatever Trump wants in launching illegal wars, on and on and on, because they know that he's going to have their back. Now, the danger for them is, and I'll hand the mic back to you, Adam, is what happens if Trump dies? Because we see his ankles, we see the weird rash, we see the caked up makeup on his face. He looked terrible yesterday. If he dies, do these guys really think J.D. Vance is going to honor his boss's commitments? Because I don't think he will. Vance is such a little weasel.
J.D. Vance is very weaselly, and he's a little bit ideologically different than Donald Trump. We're seeing that manifest throughout this war. J.D. Vance has been incredibly silent. So that's a really good question. I haven't thought of that framework. If Donald Trump were to pass away, there's a very real chance, if you look at the statistics on it, then would they get pardoned? Probably not. They could be then held accountable. And as we've talked about multiple times, when Democrats get into power, not only after the midterms, but on January 21st of 2029, like the day after, the day we're inaugurated, we should have the asses of Elon Musk, Pam Bondi, Melania Trump, all sitting there testifying about the Epstein files, about Doge, about all of this, whether or not they've been pardoned. I think this is very, very important, especially Elon Musk. With all of this Doge stuff, we have some real questions to ask Elon Musk, and hopefully we get some real fighters in Congress. Imagine James Tallarico grilling the hell out of Elon Musk. That is when we know the power has shifted back. But yeah, there needs to be accountability. And right now we're seeing an authoritarian consolidation in the form of seizing ballots in Fulton County and other places, because they know that if Tulsi Gabbard seizes ballots, she'll be pardoned. We see a consolidation in the media. I know we don't have that much time to like dig into this too much, but I do want to really quickly touch on the Warner Bros. Discovery case and the fact that David Ellison and Larry Ellison are further consolidating their media empire. Now, this merger is going through. I think it was approved about 2 weeks ago, but I made a video about this. So I'm going to make more videos. If you call your state attorney general and you rally against this specific merger, then they can actually delay. And there's a chance that Democrats can get back into power and stop Larry Ellison and David Ellison from owning effectively 40 to 50% of the media. They would own CNN, HBO Max, they would consolidate all of this under their umbrella. And it's quite a scary thought. Now, the thing is, Donald Trump is reportedly giving them leeway. He wants this to happen because it would benefit him. They would then own TikTok as well. They would own all these things. The father, who is David, David's the father, right? He's giving money to the son to back this so they can have this new media mogul empire. It's incredibly disgusting. It needs to be stopped, but nobody will be held accountable for any of this. Not for the market manipulation we've seen, not for the inside trading, the crypto scams, not for seizing ballots in Fulton County, not for the Warner Bros. Discovery case. And actually, I do want to add one more thing. Not for the global chaos that's been caused by the war that's been started. The global chaos that's been started is the craziest chain of events ever. So Israel pulls the United States into a war with Iran. Iran then retaliates in a way larger way than most people thought by pulling about a dozen or so countries into it, by closing the Strait of Hormuz and placing mines. The United States is then incredibly desperate for oil. So we, you know, as oil prices are spiking and countries across the globe are being affected, we lift sanctions on Russia so that India can buy more oil. India is then giving money to Russia, and then we find out Russia is helping Iran target United States service members. So we are making the globe, not we, but Donald Trump is making the globe an inherently more dangerous place every single time he pushes over some domino. It starts a chain effect, and then before we know it, Russia has more means to strike Ukraine. The world's eyes are not in Eastern Europe, they're now in the Middle East. It's just disgusting and despicable.
Well, we are the primary antagonist on the world stage, and I think we have to acknowledge that. Like, when I was on News Nation the other night, Leland asked me, is America the greatest force for good in the world? And I told him I want it to be, but I don't think it is. And I think it's hard to argue in this particular environment that we are, when we've isolated ourselves from our neighbors, when we empower Russia, when we abandon Ukraine, and then we make the same justification to go into Iran with no explanation to the American people, with no war powers authorization by Congress. And by the way, I think any Democrat that votes to fund this war is endorsing this war no matter what they say. So if they vote for it, they're responsible for it. They deserve what happens to them in their primaries, because only 6% of Democrats support this war. So that is a politically dangerous thing for any Democrat to do. On the Warner Brothers merger, for a second, it's not quite a done deal yet. There are areas where we can stop it, and I just want to kind of detail that for people real quick, because federally, the Trump administration is incentivized to try to move this along as fast as they can. But the attorney general in California and in a few other states have the ability to stop it. California has to sign off on the merger itself. Okay. That can be a complicated process that they can sort of drag out. Then there's another interesting thing here, which is there's been some reporting, it's light reporting, so I want to be clear, but that Saudi Arabia and other Middle East countries have poured a lot of the financing into the deal, and that they are now concerned, based on what's happened in the Middle East with this war in Iran and Iran retaliating and then being frustrated with the Trump administration, that Saudi Arabia might pull that funding, which would put the whole deal, it would blow the whole deal up and would be a huge thing. So there is like areas where we can stop and delay this, but there's also some shakiness to it, because they were so desperate to buy Warner Brothers, Paramount was, that they overpaid for it. Like, this is sort of like how Elon bought Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, when he bought Twitter, he paid way more for it than he ever should because he wanted to put Jack and the rest of the board in a position where they couldn't say no because they have a fiduciary responsibility to their shareholders. That's what they did here. But it's a bad deal. And so if the financing goes away, the Ellisons are not going to pull that money from their own funds. They don't have enough money to be able to finance it themselves. They might try to find it somewhere else. So I just think there's a lot of opportunities to stop it. And then I want to add one final thought here, which is just about independent media, because a big part of the reason this is happening, like, I'm sure the Ellisons want to own the Harry Potter franchise and the Game of Thrones franchise and like whatever. I don't really care which billionaire owns my favorite, you know, TV show. That really probably doesn't really matter to me. But they did promise the Trump administration that they were going to turn CNN into a more Trump-friendly news network. And that is the stuff that is the most dangerous to me. And so it's why independent media is so important. And I tell people all the time, I'm not a reporter, okay? I'm a commentator. I'm a political strategist. Like, I'm not quite a straight-up partisan act, but I'm about as close as it gets. But there are people like you who go out there and do that reporting and hold these people accountable. There's people like my friend Katie Fang, Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas. Pick your flavor of independent journalist out there. We need to support them, and we need to be building up these different places. Maybe the Bulwark is your flavor. Maybe it's Drop Site News, like whatever it is. We need more of those organizations that get set up that can support people, that can create media ecosystems, because this corporate media environment is not going to work for us. And it doesn't matter whether it's the people who own MS Now or the people who own CNN or the people who own News Nation. Like, we should all go on and engage with those and talk to their audiences. But we need people like you, Adam, that are doing that work and building up independent media. And I hope that everybody out there will do the best they can to support others who are building that up. Like, find your favorite person and support them, even if they're small, because the smaller ones are the ones that might dig into a story locally about a corrupt city council member that's, you know, taking bribes. Like, that's the stuff that we need that we're missing now. And I think it's really important.
Independent media is so important. I see a lot of Chicago influencers and creators helping push the elections in the way that they want and exposing corruption between certain representatives or Congress members. And yeah, it's amazing what can happen when a bunch of like-minded individuals from across the country, across the world, gather in one community. And that's what we see with independent media. I view myself as a commentator as well. And I think that both of us have built massive communities of people that want to push the country in the same direction that we do. We'll have slight disagreements sometimes, but overall, we're all pushing towards a better, healthier democracy, a more perfect union, if you will. And I think that that's very, very important. So it's a good place to end it. If you want to support independent media, then subscribe to the Substack you're watching now. This will also be on YouTube. So if you are watching on YouTube, make sure you drop a like below. You can find both Mike Nellis's YouTube channel, he's making great videos every day, and my channel right below this. Click subscribe and help build this community stronger, stronger together. So thank you all. And thank you, Mike. This was great.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. I appreciate you, buddy. And thanks to everybody who joined and who watched this. We'll talk again soon.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.